Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for June 29th, 2021. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick. I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, certified professional organizer and owner of The Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is a webcast and podcast where we dig deep into the clutter that stands between people and the lives they want to be living. We aim to make sense of where so much stuff comes from in the first place, and we offer strategies to slow down the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff you choose to keep. We rely heavily on the questions and topic suggestions we get from you, our viewers and listeners, and we appreciate it.
Yes, we do. If you're joining us in the Zoom meeting for the first time, you can share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to make sure Gail gets to them before we move on. You can also use the raise hand feature if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video. We're streaming the webcast live on Facebook, so you can also share your questions and comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. And during the webcast every Tuesday, you can talk to us by phone by calling 669-900-6833. Use meeting ID 993-419-863 and password clutter to join the meeting. Before we get to our main topic, we're going to talk a follow-up on last week's tittle, which was called The Unexpected Guest. The assignment was to look at your space from the viewpoint of a sudden or unexpected visitor and to identify a problem, item, or area that you would be embarrassed for that person to see. We'd love to hear from our participants in Zoom and Facebook. Did this assignment trigger any action this week? Please let us know. Viewer Lauren shared her unexpected guest horror story in a YouTube comment on last week's episode. Lauren said, "The tittle actually happened to me last month. The fire department showed up for carbon monoxide check after my alarm sounded. I was mortified by the living room. It was jam-packed with things for our yard sale scheduled for later that week. Boxes and bags of stuff, neatly priced and labeled, but still, I did manage to hide the bras hanging in the laundry room to dry."
This comment made me laugh out loud. Every woman has had to run to hide the hanging bras at some point in her life. It's a great example, Lauren. Part of feeling comfortable about your home is feeling like others can be there without you feeling mortified, just as Lauren did. Now, I'll say that preparing for a yard sale is certainly a temporary situation, and I wouldn't have wasted too much worry about the fireman seeing that pile. I would have said, "Forgive the mess, we're having a yard sale this weekend," and left it at that. Thanks so much for the laugh and for sharing your story. It was a great one. It was a perfect example of the tittle.
Kat says, "What is with this tittle? I love you guys, but if someone was coming to my house unexpectedly, I just call them back and give them the wrong address."
Well, that's one way to ensure that no one ever sees you ever again. Y'all are creative.
Tara said, this assignment triggered bad memories.
Oh.
But she did add an LOL. So.
Okay.
She is perhaps healed from.
From her bad memories, right?
And Catherine said, "I wonder if guys worry about their jock straps hanging out to dry." And
well,
you know,
do they?
Well, truthfully, a lot of guys with clutter are not that self-aware about their clutter, I think. You know, I think guys are a bit less, you know, less socialized to, less socialized to worry about what people think of them, maybe. Kind of to our detriment sometimes.
Right.
And Connie shared, "I used to have a postcard on my fridge that read, 'My house was tidy last week, but you missed, too bad you missed it.'"
That's a good one. I like it. Oh, I mean, just the visual. I mean, literally every woman has gone, "Oh my God, the bras are out," and has run to somewhere where bras are hanging to dry and had to grab them and throw them somewhere. Like every woman has done that many, many times. Oh, that was such a good one. Thank you. Y'all are being real funny today already. I love it.
One more thing before we get to the main event. I wanted to share a comment and question from YouTube viewer Ernest. Ernest wrote, "Here's an issue I'm struggling with. While I've accepted that the depreciation of an item to a $0 value, I threw in an extra word there. While I've accepted the depreciation of an item to a $0 value, I have a conflict between giving away and tossing an item. My preference is to give the item away to someone who can genuinely use and enjoy it. But after several no-shows on Craigslist, and with the dumpster being a 30-second walk from my door, I find that it's easier to just toss the item, since the end result is the same from my perspective. I often feel guilty about filling up the landfill with my junk, but it is the better alternative to being buried by the junk and waiting around all day. Does anyone else have this problem?
I hear you about having to give it away to someone who's expressed interest about trying to do that. But but the nature of these exchange boards like Craigslist and FreeCycle was one of them too, is such that people are not committed to showing up after they've said that they want it. It's very time consuming and frustrating, to say the least. I have two suggestions for you, Ernest. One is for the items that you feel really strongly about, I'd try nextdoor.com and offer it up to the folks in your neighborhood. It's more likely that they'll pick it up if it's just around the corner where they have to go to get it. Second, if you have a dumpster close by, which it sounds like you do, I'd put things out in a box, but put it outside the dumpster and let people pick things out. I'm sure most of it will be taken away if it's left free and accessible to somebody. You don't want the apartment complex to get mad at you, so don't put out a huge amount at any one time and don't leave it for long. But you can put it out in the afternoon, leave it overnight, and then pick it up again in the morning. Those that are headed to the dumpster can grab stuff and you can remove things before the manager gets mad, and then repeat it later that afternoon with a new round of items. Once people figure out that it's happening regularly, they'll go by often to check to see what's out there. So you can sort of create an urban recycling zone out by the dumpster, a few items at a time, and see if people in the complex with you will take things away.
Excellent.
Might be a solution that feels better than throwing it in the landfill.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to our main topic. For people who struggle with stuff, clutter permeates every aspect of our lives, our space, our time, our emotions, and our relationships. So for this week's podcast, webcast, we set ourselves a challenge to identify and explain an organizing concept, issue, or tip for every letter of the alphabet.
So A is for aspirational clutter, which means what exactly? When you collect things to support something you aspire to do. So I'm saving all of these size 8 clothes because I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm saving all these Spanish books because I want to learn Spanish someday. You keep objects for something you don't currently know how to do. It's fine to have aspirations, but if you need a quick win and you're decluttering, consider getting rid of these things that have been taking up space for months or years without ever actually being used. Next, B is for bedroom. Our bedrooms are the most intimate retreat in our homes. We need them to be restful, peaceful places to relax and recuperate. It's also the most ignored place in our home, mostly because it's the least public place. Don't neglect that space that will benefit you the most. Pick up all the clothes lying around the room. Clear the floor around the bed. Clear off and clear out the bedside tables often. C is for clutter. Clutter itself, of course, the reason we're all here. It may seem obvious, and maybe you're thinking that we should have tried harder to think of a new and original concept for the letter C, but we think that our alphabet wouldn't be complete without a reminder of how we define this essential word. In the clutter-free lexicon, clutter is anything, an object, any material, any component of your life, physical, intellectual, or emotional, anything at all that stands in the way of the life that you want to be living. Clutter is any stuff or mindset or habit that no longer serves you, but takes up space and blocks you from having the better things you want and need. Or come to think of it, we could also say that C stands for clarity, the state on the other side of clutter towards which we are all making steady progress. D is for decision fatigue. Getting organized requires making a lot of decisions in short time frames. It's hard mental work and to make all those decisions, and we all get decision fatigue. It slows us down and then we can't decide anymore. Respect this reality. know this will happen as you work and plan around it. Give yourself a break to do something mindless or fun, break for food and a rest, something to let your brain rest for a while before you dive back into decision-making. E is for expiration date. Those dates, or however long you're willing to use something past those dates, are how you easily filter out food and medicines. Clearing time-limited products is a simple and satisfying maintenance task to keep your kitchen pantry and medicine cabinet functioning well. F is for filter. We use the word filter as a metaphor for setting limits on what can remain in your space. But the metaphor works because sometimes clutter literally becomes such a problem that it becomes hard for us to breathe. Filtering your belongings for what is no longer of interest to you is a maintenance technique that we suggest you cultivate as a regular habit. Pay attention to your shifting needs and your shifting desires and the stuff that supports them. Once you build the habit of adjusting your filters routinely, you can keep your house clutter-free. G is for garage. The place where clutter goes to die. When you just can't release it, but it's not good enough to take up space in your house, it goes off to get musty, dusty, or maybe damp even, and pest-ridden in the garage. If something doesn't fit in the house and doesn't really belong in the garage, we kindly suggest that you just let go of it instead of consigning it to garage oblivion. H is for hobbies, which is a major source of excess stuff in our homes, as I can well attest. Be mindful that hobbies can quickly get out of control, take over a space, or expand beyond their allotted area. Plan for the stuff you want to keep and where and how you want to keep it. You can be creative and still designate a limited, clearly defined space for the hobby to occupy.
Okay, I want to pause for a couple of comments before we go on.
Okay.
Ray from Toronto said C is for computer clutter. And Catherine said C is for cords, what to do to make them disappear yet be usable for every day. Apartment outlet failure. Connie said delayed decisions is definitely the cause of my clutter.
Right, that's a good D.
Catherine added, F is for focus. Anyone else have clutter blindness?
That's a good one.
And Seuss said, F should be fear of letting go.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
Like that one.
Connie said H is also for hoarding.
Y'all are doing good. Y'all are pulling out the alphabet. Like, man, that's awesome. I is for inheritance. Most of us will inherit something, whether it's the family home that's been lived in for 50 years full of home goods, or one box of photos in a vase. Know that this experience is coming. Think about how you want to handle it and develop a plan that matches the size of the project. Thinking about it in detail when you're not in mourning will be a kindness you can give your future self and a lovely way to honor your deceased loved one. And, you know, I'm just going to burn it down is not really a useful plan. You need a plan better than I'm going to throw it all out. I'm going to burn it down. Even throwing it out requires planning in a dumpster and work. So making a plan about how you're going to handle it is worth the effort at this point.
Yeah. And burning it down may be in violation of local laws and ordinances.
Yeah. You might burn it down and have to go to jail.
You'll want to look into that carefully before you consider that option.
Right. J is for jumpstart, as in jumpstarting your organizing project. And here are a few quick ways you can do it. Go through the house or the room in particular, picking up only the trash and recycling. Or you can look for things in one room that belong in another room and relocate them. You can scan the space looking for things to donate without doing any other sorting or organizing. You can also look for large pieces of furniture that you want to donate and have them removed to clear a big footprint of space all at once. K is for...
Before we get there, there was a lot of follow-up on inheritance. Seuss said, inheritance, I have a Victorian love seat. Sigh. And Joanne said, too late, I didn't plan in advance for inherited stuff. And then Craig had a similar problem. He said, our house first got completely out of control when we inherited a house full of furniture when my relatives were remodeling their house. He put inherited in quotes.
Right.
And needed the stuff gone before we were ready to absorb it. Now it's been 15 years and we still haven't caught up.
Oh, isn't that awful? And so basically they fixed their house by putting all their clutter to you, and now you guys are drowning it instead. That's, yeah, they need to come and help you with that. They need to come and help you clean that up. Oh, I'm sorry.
And Catherine said, as a future executor of the will for a whole house of stuff, I really appreciate the tone of inheritance. I agree, pre-planning is giving me peace of mind for future self.
Right.
And Connie said, J is for just in case stuff, but we're going to cover that in when we get to N. That's just a little teaser. Okay.
Okay, so we're back.
Okay, K.
K is for keep toss decisions. These are the fundamental central choices that we make to begin the process of clearing our space. The basic question you're asking about every single item in your house is, are we keeping this? Are we tossing this? Remember, I mentioned decision fatigue before. The weight of dozens or hundreds or even thousands of keep toss decisions is why decision fatigue happens. But the difficulty of these choices can't be avoided if we want our spaces to support our lives. L is for a life cycle. By life cycle, we mean all the phases that stuff goes through from the moment we start thinking about acquiring something, through the shopping, the purchase, the period of infatuation with a new favorite item, the active use of it, the storage of it, and then the period of disenchantment when a thing falls out of favor and is eventually ready to be disposed of. If we cultivate a habit of examining our decision-making at every stage of our relationship with the stuff, we can make subtle shifts in our behavior that will add up to a substantially less cluttered life. M is for maintenance. Every organizing project ends with maintenance. Regularly doing the things you need to do to maintain what you've organized. Integrating maintenance routines into your weekly schedule is how you keep a space organized over the long haul. A solid maintenance habit is the key to holding on to all the gains you've made in the long-term project of reducing clutter. And N is for need, as in I might need that. We keep lots of items we might need someday, but remember, you can't store an endless supply of stuff against every possibility that might arise. Sometimes we have to make a brutally honest assessment of whether the need we've used to justify keeping something is real, immediate, and important in relation to the other ways we could use our space and time. We don't want to store a million things against possibility. O is for overwhelm. The problem that most people have with a decluttering project. It looks so big, too big, and we get overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of the work. The best foil to overwhelm is to find a small enough task that you can complete in one sitting. One tabletop, one file box, one kitchen drawer, and organize that one place. Getting to complete anything, no matter how small, can show you the feeling of success in completing an organizing project. You'll be making progress again in no time once you're successful in one small place.
Before we move on, a couple of comments. Craig said, life cycle of the stuff is too often disconnected with our own human life cycle. Often hard to adapt our mental outlook to our own changes and how we will or will not use the stuff later. And Joyce said, life cycle, you mean the ice cream maker that was delivered this morning? Seuss asked if you would repeat the point about need. And so let's back up. And that was a fairly short one. So would you just read that again? Because I think it's it's a really important point.
Need, N is for need, as in I might need that. We keep lots of items we might need someday, but remember, you can't store an endless supply of stuff against every possibility that might arise. Sometimes we have to make a brutally honest assessment of whether the need we've used to justify keeping something is a real, immediate, and important one in relation to the other ways we could use our space and time.
And on the overwhelm point, Samudra said, it's been so weird to watch overwhelm go from verb to noun, but I see why. And we've had that complaint before from someone with a grammarian tendency. And so I went looking for it, and I actually found that the first uses of overwhelm as a noun were in the 17th century. So It's been around. I think it's become a lot more popular recently. Right. I don't know why.
Good
okay.
question.
On to P. P is for predictable.
P is predictably paper, which is everyone's nemesis. The first discussion of going paperless was in 1975 in an article in Business Week magazine.
And we're not there yet.
But 46 years later, the topic of paper comes up nearly every week in our conversations here because the paper never stops coming. We all continue to struggle with it, and some of us regularly find ourselves drowning in it. But we can all learn to handle it, to make keep toss decisions about it, and store what we keep in a retrievable way. Learning to handle your home's mail and other paper in a maintenance way as a regular habit will take this task from overwhelming to tamed. Q is for quality over quantity. It's a two-word bonus. This is a distinction that can serve you if you're struggling to reduce a large collection, such as boxes of photos, birthday cards from your late grandmother, mementos of fun times, grade school keepsakes, or a little kid's artwork. Choose the best items as a representative sample of the category and let the rest go. R is for retail therapy. I get that retail therapy is fun when you're feeling blue or stressed out, but the immediate relief in that moment creates a permanent burden of new stuff that you likely don't really need and you need to now store. That creates another stress like the one that made you seek retail therapy to begin with. So it kind of defeats the purpose of doing it. It's no help to shop for fun and then come home with something that creates more stress.
Connie added R is for remorse over retail therapy. Right. A couple of people mentioned R as for remodeling stuff because that is a big source of problems.
It sure is. Any kind of remodeling creates chaos.
I wanted to be acknowledged for finding a picture of retail therapy that has a man's hand instead of a woman. To be
good job.
equal opportunity stock photography.
Maybe that's collections of new jock straps in there.
Right. It's probably mostly his hair products. I'm guessing this guy has a lot of hair products.
He has lots of hair products. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's funny. S is for sorting. We're on to S now. Sorting is the batch processing of getting organized. Sorting is a process where you collect like with like, so you can make easier decisions about a category as a whole and about the pieces of a category compared to each other. It makes the keep toss decisions easier and finding the system or storage solution for a category more accurate, since you know exactly how much material you need to accommodate once you've done all of this sorting. T is for time management. Managing your time as you declutter. Decide how long you can focus with good energy and attention in any one sitting. Decide how many times in the week you can spend that amount of time decluttering. Then schedule those days on a calendar and honor the commitment to yourself to give that time and attention to your project. You'll be glad you did.
Craig shared that he's doing a big quality over mass quantity project right now. He says, I'm currently 2 years so far, going through 4 kids' school stuff.
Oh.
So far, I'm at about 50% toss round one. Also helps when they have the same teacher. I'm almost at 1 large storage tub for each kid. Got COVID in November. Sorry to hear that, but glad that you recovered. And haven't gotten back to it, but just about to start again and finish this time.
Go team go. That's a big project to leave until the end of after the kids are grown, a whole school career of kids paperwork. That's a lot of work. So good on you for staying on it for 2 years and you know, the end's in sight. So go team go. U is for unpacking our baggage. Unpack your bags after a trip when you fly somewhere and come back with luggage full of stuff, but you can also unpack your shopping bags too. Even after doing this work for 15 years, I'm still astonished at the number of bags I encounter in clients' homes, complete with the receipts, sitting right where they were dropped on the day they came in, or collected into stashes and overstuffed closets. Remember, shopping isn't complete until your purchases are put away. It's the integration work of shopping to merge it into where it needs to be stored. V is for value. We just talked last week about the perceived value of what we own or inherit. Be realistic about the resale value of your items. evaluate how much work you want to do to turn those items into cash. Maybe it's easier not to try to convert those things to cash, but to donate them away instead. A careful and thoughtful assessment of value is also how we discern the things that we really love, cherish, appreciate, and use from the stuff that we're holding on to out of habit, unrealistic expectations, or a sense of guilt.
We had a great comment on value from Nancy on YouTube today. Nancy said, I sell vintage china, crystal, and flatware on eBay, and I agree that many patterns no longer have monetary value. That's something we talked about a lot last week. They can have great sentimental value, but only if the tableware is actually used for family dinners on a regular basis. The tableware then is associated with warm family gatherings and takes on a value much more precious than mere monetary value. However, if the tableware is only kept in a china cabinet and never used, it just becomes more junk to clear when mom passes away.
Thank you, Nancy. That's a great illustration of the idea that in many cases, value is something that we decide to assign to an object or a collection, and that we have the power to imbue things with value or to allow them to become valueless. We can decide it's okay to let it go. W is for white elephant. The term white elephant originally meant an extravagant, impractical gift that couldn't be easily disposed of. The phrase is said to come from the historic practice of the King of Siam of giving rare albino elephants to courtiers who had displeased him so that they would be financially ruined by the animal's upkeep costs. It's a good reminder that everything we choose to keep has some kind of a cost in space, in time, in effort, etc. But white elephant now also signifies the ultimate in free exchange. When you're done with something, donate it to a white elephant table or white elephant sale. Let someone else that can use it have it. X is for, we're not entirely sure what X is for. We tried our best to find a clutter connection to xylophones or xenon or xanthan gum or xylotomy or the xiphoid process, but we struck out. But Merriam-Webster defines to X out as to show something written to be no longer valid by drawing a cross over or a line through it. So maybe X stands for Xing out all the things that no longer serve your life. Or maybe we could settle for saying that X stands for the X factor, the unknown element, the uncertainty we feel as we try to find balance and clarity in our lives and our spaces. Maybe X stands for finding the answers to our own mysteries in the process of sorting out our stuff and our spaces.
Anya said X stands for xenophobic or racist knickknacks, like a cast iron savings box with a black person on a dentist chair getting a tooth pulled out by a white guy. My parents had one they brought home from the U.S. Yikes.
Oh, my God. So that is the kind of stuff that's being collected by Black Americans now, I have to say, because they want to own it and control it and not have it be owned by someone who associates with their racist tendencies around it. Oh my gosh.
Connie says X is extreme. And Lise says X is extra stuff.
Extra, that's, yeah.
And then do you remember who it was who suggested x-rays?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Somebody did. They suggested x-ray as a slide. They suggested x-rays because they were in the process of taking physical film, x-ray films, and disposing of them. And nowadays, most of those x-rays are done digitally, so you don't end up with an actual film. But back in the day, they had these huge films, and they're a really odd size that goes in no file cabinet anywhere ever. And they were always a pain for everybody to deal with. And disposing of them was also a problem because they had a lot of chemicals in them that couldn't just be tossed in the landfill. And so she was actually taking her x-rays back to an x-ray lab for them to recycle properly, which I thought was a great idea. And so
Connie points out there's silver in old x-rays.
All
old film has silver to be recovered.
So that's something that you can, if you have or you inherit, particularly if you have people that are older than you and you inherit their collection of a lifetime of x-rays from back when that's the only option, you may have a collection of things that need to be recycled, and taking them back to an x-ray lab is a great idea.
Catherine added, X-ray is a symbol of all the old medical products one accumulates, from broken bones, hard to get rid of since one may break another in the future, so we'll need that walking boot or crutches.
Z is for Ziploc bags. This is my favorite organizing tool ever. It's a great way to group like with like as you sort small items, and it's a cheap and easily accessible container to keep the items you decide to keep clean and consolidated.
I think you missed Y.
No, I just decided to fudge a little so I could save the most important point for last. The most important point, Y, is for you. The one, the only, the ultimate judge of what serves you and belongs in your life. We don't ever want you to substitute our judgment or anyone else's for what your heart, your needs, and your desires tell you belongs in your life. You are the key to clearing the clutter to make space for the life that you love.
We finished that faster than I thought, so we have plenty of time for comments and questions. First, however, I want to jump over to say that for those who are watching us live in Zoom or Facebook, we want to remind you that we have a YouTube channel with more than 150 videos on a wide variety of topics. Visit cfhou.com/YouTube. Subscribe to our channel and click the bell icon next to the subscribe button if you like to get notifications when we post new content. Kara says, decluttering is great self-love.
That's true, right? It's a lot of work, but it's work that you're doing to your own improvement and your own comfort and your own peace of mind. It's absolutely, that's a great way to look at it. So many people think of it as the miserable, horrible chore that they have to do. And it is not exactly fun for everybody, but it is also really producing results that make a difference in your life. And so it is, it's a great way to think of it.
Joyce said, I definitely have the X-ray problem. My late brother had a rare cancer and my parents kept the films. Guess who has them now?
That would be you. Okay. And, you know, that's something that in the moment, it seems very important as the doctors are taking these X-rays and they're trying to find out the status as they're working. And it gives them good information, but they're constantly updating it and changing it. If you're in the middle of like having an X-ray at the beginning of some kind of chronic issue or right when you hurt yourself and then being able to show a doctor or compare it. But at this point, I think medicine has gotten a little bit more integrated. So all that stuff is online mostly, and people can go back and look at the previous iterations. They can pull all that up in your medical records much quicker than they used to. And so keeping up with your copies of old X-rays is not important for the doctor. It's really more a keepsake for you of what you think is important. Or, oh, I had this terrible, you know, I broke my arm and isn't this crazy? Look at the X-ray. Like, it becomes a keepsake about that time in your life when you're injured or unwell or being treated. And so there's sort of a reason. Some people keep it for that keepsake factor. Somebody's going to have to come behind you. If you keep it as a keepsake, somebody's going to have to come behind you and recycle it later. So think of those who clean out your house.
Yes. Patricia says, moved from 2,500 square feet plus with a huge garage to a tiny 1,000 square foot condo. Sorry. Learned to put everything on curb and offer it to friends and family first, then snap a big picture of all the stuff and post for free in Facebook Marketplace, and very effective. Anything left, I gave Garbage Dude a very large tip to clear away. I am still struggling with too much clothes and shoes and stuff in storage units that needs to go to kids or be tossed, but it's too hot to attack those now. A ridiculous waste of money. I am definitely becoming less and less attached to anything that feels like a dumb cost.
There you go.
Maureen asks, can you please place the URL of YouTube in the chat? Can't do that because we don't get a URL until we start the upload, but I can share the show notes.
Or just the channel.
Well,
the channel address.
Yeah, the channel address, cfhou.com/YouTube. Make a note of the URL of today's show notes, cfhou.com/TCFW076. And I think I'll probably put a PDF of the slideshow as well for people who want to relive it or have fun with it. And we're going to put the list, because that's going to be part of the tittle, which will be coming along in just a few minutes. Diane says, I'm going through videotapes to transfer, then get rid of camera.
So it must be videotapes of your family, videotapes of family events that you're going through personally.
Connie says, another S is for storage units.
Right. That's a good one. Storage units are a black hole. I know that storage units were born out of the prosperity of our lives over the last several decades. And just as people have gotten more cluttered in their homes, storage units have popped up in order to help people cope with the clutter. But it is an endless, you know, cash machine, cha-ching, cha-ching, that they get to charge you as long as you're willing to not do the work. And they bank on the fact that you don't really want to do the work, and you don't really want to go to the storage unit because it's too hot, and you don't really want to think about the contents because it's too distressing, and there's so much work to be done. And so you basically pay someone else to hold the problem and allow you to not think about it for as long as you would rather not think about it. And they're perfectly happy to charge you while you don't think about it. There is a place and a time for a storage unit. There is, but it's not nearly as often or as much as people use them for right now. And so it's kind of a black hole.
You're voluntarily giving up some of your stuff as a hostage.
Right. And then paying to not ever rescue it.
Right.
Basically,
right.
You're paying them to not rescue it instead of to save it.
You're giving them the ransom on an installment basis.
Oh, love that metaphor. That's good. I like it.
Well, I want to actually announce that we're going to take a week off. We will not have a live webcast next week in recognition of the 4th of July holiday.
We're taking a little holiday break.
We're going to be back on July 13th at the usual time. One of our most popular episodes of the last couple of years explored setting priorities for your organizing projects. We got lots and lots of positive feedback and many requests for more ideas on this hot topic. This was our February 9th episode, where we compared prioritizing projects to a juggling act. But with a little training and some practice, we think that decluttering can be as elegant as a dance. So in our July 13th webcast, we'll offer principles for setting organizing priorities to help you choreograph your work on a variety of spaces and projects. We're calling the show Choreography for Clutter, More Tools for Setting Project Priorities. Okay, let's go on with the tittle.
Okay, this weekly tittle is called T is for Tittle. There's a festive holiday weekend coming up for our viewers and listeners in the United States. So we're giving everyone a fairly easy assignment this week. Pick any one item from our alphabetical list, which you'll be able to find on the show notes page tonight or tomorrow at cfhou.com/TCFW076. Spend 10 minutes on a decluttering task that the prompt inspires for you. Then tell us about your accomplishment in a comment on YouTube, Facebook, the show notes page, on our website, or in person at the next webcast. And there's a bonus challenge. Use the first letter of your last name as the prompt for your decluttering task.
Excellent.
See if you can make some progress on something, randomly picking something from the alphabet.
Okay, if you are watching this on YouTube, we'd love for you to join us live. We have a lot of fun in our live events.
It's true.
To receive notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by going to cfhou.com/Facebook, or subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We love to hear from you, so please keep those questions, comments, and topic suggestions coming on YouTube, on Facebook, or anywhere that you find us. And you can reach us through our website at clutterfairhouston.com.
Thanks, everybody, for coming to listen to us chat today. I hope that it made a list of things to inspire you to keep going. on your organizing projects, and we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about organizing and setting priorities as you work.
See you next time.
Bye.